Good morning, everyone. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Did I turn my mic on or did I turn it off? Praise the Lord. There it is. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Let's thank the Lord this morning, shall we? God is so good. Good to see everyone. The Lord bless you. Happy Father's Day to everyone that's listening live and throughout the building and those that are present. The Lord bless you, fathers, today. I pray you have a wonderful day and that you do not receive any ties or socks. You know what I'm saying? Never mind. I'll not go there. As you know, every time we have a video, especially the third Sunday, it's Love Never Fails Sunday. So this is a day, gentlemen, that you guys come forth. We take up an offering, 100% of it. Nothing goes to Calvary. All of it goes to the work that we do in Mexico. Thank you so much for supporting our global work that God has called us to. And, you know, I'm thankful. Steve and Carol, next month, they're going to be down there as our mission directors, our missionaries. Amen? It's going to be a wonderful time. So you can get involved in our local work, which is, of course, Halton Christian School, or our global work, the work in Mexico. Go to lnfi.org or the Calvary website. You can find out more about that. And the Lord bless you. I pray you give generously because I'm the only voice the children have at this church. Amen? That's why I'm asking. So God bless you today. Also, listen, I just want to thank Pastor Raul and Pastor Kendall, Pastor Thomas. What three great messages while I was gone. I was so blessed. It just blessed me. God is so good to have wonderful teachers at this church. Amen. And they bring forth the word. So good job, guys. And thank you for allowing me to and Rebecca to take a break. Also, Grace Connection, they're not meeting today, so the folks can spend time with their fathers and their families. However, there is a relaunch with the Grace Connection. It says they'll be back in the cafe next month with their very first potluck in over 1 year. Boy, that is, thank the Lord for that. So that's going to be good. Also, the Fitness Fellowship is canceled tomorrow evening. And then the tent ministry yesterday as I was preparing. Actually, I was having lunch there in the cafe because it was lunch time yesterday. And I got a text from Dan and Stacy and they're in the tent ministry. And he said, listen, Kevin just walked up and came to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? What a great ministry to get involved with. And I tell you, it's so easy. They just come up to you. God brings the harvest to you. Amen. Yeah, so you can get involved with that. They meet on Saturday at Trinity Park, 7th Street entrance, 9 o'clock in the morning. You can contact Dan Stacy at outreach@loveneverfails.com for more information. Men, our fellowship will be next Saturday, this coming Saturday, I should say. Iron sharpens iron. That'll be 3 p.m. It'll be in the barn. You please enter through the iron gate. And as you know, the 4th of July celebration is just a couple of weeks away. We really need you to go to the website and sign up to help. We have a lot of work to do, amen? But many hands will make for a light load, all right? So if you'd be kind enough to do that, and it's just serving at various stations and only for just a very small increment of time. It's not going to be all day or anything like that. So sign-ups are available on the website, the app. If you need help signing up online, something that I would need for me, it says you can call the church office and talk to Pastor Bill. No, that's not true. You call the church office and someone there will assist you. Also, auditions are being held for the piano player, for a piano player and drummer. They're in the praise team, so you can contact Jesse at loveneverfails.com if you're interested in auditioning. And there's always opportunities to serve in the kids' church and how we need your help there as well. We want to make sure that we keep Kel and Liz and his family. As you know, Kel's in the hospital, so is his mother-in-law, and we want to keep them in prayer. So I pray you put them, you should have already received, you, if you're on the prayer line and so forth, you'll know what's going on. But let's go on this Father's Day, and let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Father, we just thank you as we applaud and rejoice over you, our Father, which art in heaven. And Lord God, you know the situation with all that's going on, the COVID and all the other stuff, oh Lord. We pray over Kel, we pray over Liz, we pray over the family, Lord, the mother, all the people, and we lift up even Danny Gibson, Lord, her brother Dale, just for healing in his body and all the things that are happening and the protection, Lord, once again, that no plague will come nigh this place at all. We ask that, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. And I also pray this morning, Lord God, that I want to be weak. I want you to be strong in me. And that, Lord, I'll say absolutely nothing unless you speak it through me. Use me for your glory, O Lord, and magnify your word and glorify Jesus Christ on this Father's Day. We ask it, we believe it, we receive it in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. On this Father's Day, let's turn in our Bibles. We're not going to be starting a new book yet, but turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. And we're going to be beginning in just a moment in verse 12. On this Father's Day, and if you'll bring me down just a little bit, I feel like I'm in a kind of a well, just a hair, not too much, and on my sound. But as we look at our Father's Day sermon, our message today, you know, I prayed over this and prayed over this, and I said, Lord, you know, you want me to speak to fathers, or do you want me to speak about our Heavenly Father? And that's who I'm going to speak about this morning. Now, you know, we have men, everyone here, listen, do we have the greatest Father in all of the universe? Oh, my Lord. Listen, our Father has pronounced every one of his children, it says, blessed. Amen? Think about that. Thanks be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every, say every with me, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are the most blessed people on earth, and God has blessed you. Amen? And God is your Father. And not only that, loved one, think about it. Our Father, some of you have fathers that maybe, well, you're not too close to anymore. But I'll tell you something about our Father. He chose you in Christ before the foundations of this earth. Amen? And not only that, not only did he choose you in Christ, but loved one, listen to me now. He has, the Bible says, accepted you in his beloved, which is Jesus Christ. Meaning this, that God the Father loves you exactly the same as he loves his very own son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now listen, that's the kind of love that I rejoice in. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. And not only that, can you imagine? I mean, look at your crummy life. And look at my crummy life. And what has our Father done? He's taking our crummy, filthy trespasses and sins, and he has placed them upon his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Loved one, it just doesn't get any better than that. Matter of fact, you know what Jesus said about our Heavenly Father? He told us, he said, oh, don't worry. Don't let your life be torn apart. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. In context, that's what that verse is speaking of. What you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. He says, for all the Gentiles, all the lost people, well, they worry about all that kind of stuff. He says, but your Heavenly Father, knows all of your needs even before you ask him. Loved one, listen to me. You know what that Jesus just said about our Heavenly Father? Our Heavenly Father says this, let the world worry and be torn apart, but you don't have to be. I'm your Heavenly Father, and he has never failed you. He's never failed me in Jesus' name. Amen? And not only that, he tells us in his word how to have all of our needs met. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these things. What things? The things that we need in this life will be added unto you. You know, J.L. Packer said this. He said, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. Think about that. God is our Father. We are the children of God. The Bible teaches us, it says, behold what manner of love that God our Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Amen. Now, with all that being said, this message is so important today. And I pray that our hearts are open to the Word of God, because your Father wants you to know something very incredible on this Father's Day. If you're in Mark chapter 11, I want to kind of set this up for you, because when we get to Mark chapter 11, verse 12, we are sandwiched, if you will, in between the triumphal entry of Christ to Jerusalem, which happened on a Sunday, and then the cleansing of the temple, okay? So in the midst of this, there's the lesson of the fig tree beginning in Mark 11, 12. So on the next day, that would be not Sunday, remember, but it would be Monday, it says, when they came out of Bethany. Now they're coming back to Jerusalem. They, meaning Jesus, the 12 disciples, they probably camped out. We're not told, but they probably went to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' home. Remember how he loved to go there. And it says they were returning from Bethany, and look what Jesus was doing or thinking or feeling. It literally, in the Greek, it says he became hungry. Now, I don't know, maybe Mary and Martha didn't feed him. I don't know what's going on, you know, but the fact is he's hungry. And so here he comes and he says, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. It is Passover week. Jesus is going to the cross, loved one. It is the month of April. Matter of fact, it would be April 7th, 32 AD, because we know that Jesus had to enter into Jerusalem at the triumphal entry on the exact day, on the exact animal, to the exact people. Amen? Now, with all that being said, it is Passover. And Jesus said, or the scripture says, it's not the season for figs. However, it is the season for the little, I don't know what you call them, the figlets or the little dots that start appearing up on the little bumps, you know what I mean, on the fig tree, because those are edible, okay? But that wasn't there. So that told us, if anytime you would look at a fig tree and the leaves were present, but there was not any fruit and there's not any of those little edible bumps, that tree would not be producing any fruit that year, okay? So he says, in response, look what Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And look at this verse. And his disciples, what? Heard it. May we all hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. The Creator of all things, Jesus our Lord, the Creator speaks to his creation. He speaks 9 words to a fig tree. Have you ever done that? I would, if I was Peter, James, and John, the rest, I'd go, you think the master is okay? You know, he's speaking now to a fig tree. Loved one, now listen, the tree, as we know, it's going to wither, it's going to die, and so forth. But does Jesus hate fig trees? No, of course he doesn't. And he wasn't mad, but there's a lesson there. Now, then there's the break in verse, what, 15. And look what happens. It says, and so they came into Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple, and you know what he did. He drove out the money changers. He overturned the tables and so forth. And look what he said. He said, you know, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy Jesus, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. Pick it right back up now in verse 20. And now in the morning, so a brand new day, it says, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. So the words, those 9 words that Jesus spoke in verse 14, that came to pass. Now, you know, if you studied out the history of Israel, or the Jews. The fig tree was a symbol of Israel, okay? So there's something happening in here about the fig tree withering. Now, Israel at that time, did they have a beautiful temple? Did they have the priest? Did they have the sacrifices? Did they have the scriptures? Did they have the Messiah in their midst, and yet they didn't understand or know it? They had all of that. Did they look good? They really looked good. You see all the leaves that they had? They had all the leaves. They looked good. They had profession, but they had no possession. They were fruitless. In other words, the old things of Judaism was going to pass away, and a new covenant was about to come in. Amen? Now, with all that being said, remember again what Jesus said about fruitless Israel. He said, you know what? You've taken my house, my father's house, and you've made it something. You have made it a den for robbers to hide out in and rip off my people. And today, on this Father's Day, every Christian and every church should ask the same question. What are we making of our father's house? Amen? Because are we not the temple of God? Yes, we are. And listen, Jesus today, more than any other time, are we the bride of Christ? Are we the body of Christ? Absolutely. Jesus, who is the head of the church, he's seeking fruit from us. More so in the 21st century church than in any other time. Jesus told us, loved one, he said in John 15:4, he said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. So the Christian life cannot be lived apart from Christ Jesus our Lord. Now look at verse 21. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. This is the only miracle in the New Testament that brought destruction to something. And to this it was a fig tree. Now listen carefully. We read all of that and we kind of just let it go over our heads sometimes. But Jesus is about to give an explanation and an answer, not the lesson of the fig tree, okay? But the lesson that he is getting ready to tell us, loved one, it was vital then. It is paramount today for every believer, because there are three incredible truths that Jesus is teaching whenever the fig tree withered, beginning in, look at his answer, incredible answer in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, he's saying to us as well, he says, have faith in what? In whom? In God. Listen, let's bring it up to today's vernacular. You know what Jesus just said? He said, have faith in your Father which art in heaven. Amen? And if you look in the Greek, it's have faith in God, meaning that God is the object of our faith. God is, why? God is always faithful. God has never been unfaithful, amen? He's the God who cannot lie. The word faith means to put all of your weight to, like leaning upon this pulpit for support or sitting in that chair and so forth. You're trusting that to support your entire being. And that's what faith really is. Now listen to me. It is not faith in your faith. Boy, you got to get it, because today's church has been taught such nonsense. Do you understand? Oh, it's not faith in your faith, and it's not even faith in your prayer. No, listen, it says have faith in the object of your faith, who is your Father. Amen? That is what this means. Now, listen carefully. That is a command. It is not a suggestion, and it's certainly not an option. Faith is the victory that, oh, our faith in God is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen? 1 John 5:4, who is he who overcomes the world? It says, but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, this is our victory, even our faith. Loved one, listen. Man, Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. You know, you go through the entire Bible, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, not tomorrow. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof, the title deed of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please your Father. Amen? It's impossible. It's not difficult. It's impossible to please your Father. For he who comes to him must believe, number one, that he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:7 says this, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. What did Noah do by faith? It says in the Bible, it says, and being warned, divinely warned of things not seen, not seen yet. He had never seen rain. He had never seen a flood. He had never built an ark. You follow me? He was moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And guess what he did? One man condemned the entire world. Amen? By faith. Loved one, listen. Look at Jesus. Look what he says in this incredible lesson. He says in verse 23, he uses the word amen, by the way. The word assuredly is amen. He says, for assuredly, I say to you, that's plural, that's everyone, us and them. He says, I say to you, watch this, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, that's present tense, but believes that those things he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says. I'm going to ask you a question now. Now, we all know that that scripture has been abused. Amen? We all know that that scripture has been taken out of context and doctrines built around it. Now, we're not doing that, but we want to understand it. When Jesus says, for assuredly, or amen, the word literally means this, what Jesus just said, and that's why I ask you, do you believe what Jesus just said? Because Jesus said, what I just said is sure. It is certain. It is immutable. It is infallible. It is perfect truth. What did Jesus just do? He gave us an extreme example of the absolutely impossible. Have you ever spoke to a mountain and it was moved? No. And see, that's Jesus's point. So what is Jesus saying here? Now listen, don't miss this. Jesus is not saying to them, he is not saying to us, you just have to believe. Just believe. No, he didn't say that. He says, oh, just have faith. That's not what Jesus said. Listen to me. There is no power in faith alone. Do you understand that? It's not faith in your faith. Or faith in your prayer, like, oh, look what I know. Or faith in your wisdom. It's not faith in your faith, loved one. Faith alone, loved one, there's no power in faith alone. Your faith has to have an object, and your faith is only as powerful as the object on which it rests. Amen? And, oh, listen, Jesus said, he said, have faith in God. It is not faith that moves mountains. It is faith in your Father who moves the mountain. Do you understand the difference? And that is so vital. And listen, there is only this morning and for the rest of your life, there is only one mountain that the church and every believer is facing, and that is the mountain called doubt. Do you understand? The mountain called unbelief that reigns in people's hearts. Loved one, listen, did you notice that condition that Jesus said? He said, who does not doubt in his heart. You see, you can ask with your lips, but you have to believe it in your heart. Do you doubt your Father? We've all doubted him, haven't we? Isn't that horrible? Listen, you say, well, I need more faith. No, no, no. Here's what you need to do. You need to exercise the faith that has already been divinely given to you. Read Romans 12:3 when you get home. Every man has been given, every person, a measure of faith. You have it in you. Now you can build up on the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, asking without believing, what does that do for us? Well, we're double-minded, aren't we? And we've all been double-minded. Remember what the Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, meaning faith in your Father, faith in God. He says, and do so without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that kind of man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he said he's a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. Now, let me ask you a question. Are those my words? Did I write that? Did the Holy Spirit pen that? Well, no one should ever get upset with God's word. Amen? You see how we get in trouble? The devil comes in and he steals the word of God out of people's hearts. Oh, we don't want that to happen. There's also another condition about mountains of faith or doubt, rather, moving out of your heart. Remember what Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 13:2? He says, and though I have all faith, and I could say to that mountain, you know, be thou removed, but if I don't have love, he says, I'm nothing. Now look at verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Present tense, believe that you receive them. That's what faith does. He says, and you will have them. That's future tense. Now listen carefully. Does that mean we can just ask for anything? Lord, could I have $1 million tonight for Father's Day? No, that's not, you know, no. Jesus told us, listen, he said in John 15:5, Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you draw strength from me, you're in union with me. He says, and my words abide in you. He says, then you will ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. See, there's a promise and there's a condition. Listen, if we know the word of God, we'll not ask amiss, will we? You see, when the Word of God lives in us, we're not going to ask for things that we shouldn't. You know, the Bible, what does it say in John 5:14-15? And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to our desire, no, according to His will, He hears us. Well, let me ask you this. Let's say, for example, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit today. Is that the will of God? Absolutely. Ephesians 5:18 is a command. Be ye being filled with the Spirit. How about praying for the prodigal son and praying for the lost? Is that God's will? Okay, see, when you know God's word, then you can start praying the will of God. And it says you can be certain if God hears this, you have the request that you have asked of Him. But you have to pray in for the will of God, loved one. Now look at verse 25, and this is very important because we move now from faith in God continues, but we move to something else about praying and believing God, especially for the impossible. He says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have what? Say it again. Anything. If you have anything. You know what that word means? Anything. If you have anything against anyone, doesn't matter who it is, forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will, here it is, your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now listen, that's a big word. If you have anything against anyone, you're holding a grudge, hate, whatever it is in your heart, loved one, listen, all prayer, all walking in faith hinges on that verse right there. Did you know this is the same thing in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily. Blah, blah, blah. And it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. That's Matthew what? 6 something? 4? It's there in the Lord's Prayer. Yes, 6:12. And then after the Lord's Prayer is over, what does Jesus tell us? He says in Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He's not speaking about the wonderful position that we have in Christ, our salvation. He's not talking about that. He's talking about your walk in your life. Okay, you follow me? Now, to harbor all that in one's heart, loved one. And we've all walked in unforgiveness, haven't we? Come on. If you have a family, come on. I mean, we're all guilty. There's not any, we're not holy, holy, holy rollers. Do you understand? No, I'm being honest. Come on. I don't even need to go there. We've all been there, loved one. Listen, but to be right with God, we have to be right with one another, don't we? That's the Word of God. And that's what we have to do. See, over and over and over, you know, I mean, I know that you guys are probably sinless. I'm not, okay? You know, I mean, you know, if I, you know what I mean. But what do I do when I blow it? What do I do when I sin? Well, we all have a verse that we love, don't we? 1 John, what is it, 1:9? You know, if we have sinned, our Father is faithful and just to, if we confess our sin, rather, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus, amen? He's faithful to do that. And what does God do with our sin? He doesn't remember. Yes, God doesn't forget anything, but he has a divine forgetfulness, if you will. And we go over and over in our walk and say, Lord, forgive me. I was angry, or I did this, I thought that, and all those kind of things. But, you know, we want God to do that for us, but do we do that for other people? Do you follow me? Oh, that's just so important. See, if we don't, then we're out of harmony with the one. We're going to God the Father in the name of Jesus, and it doesn't work. It hinders our prayer life and our walk. Listen, you know, has God forgiven us every sin? God, man. You know, the older that I get and the longer that I walk with God, the more holy I see him and the more unholy I see myself. Do you understand? The closer your walk with God, though you see yourself, you don't like what you see because you know your thoughts. You know, you understand. You know, and that's what happens as you grow closer to the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful that we're forgiven. I'm so thankful that our sins are far, like I just said, from the east is from the west. But listen to me, forgiving people should be a forgiving people. Amen? All of our sins. It says in Ephesians 1:7, in Jesus, oh, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one another, tenderhearted. Here it comes, forgiving one another, and then it tells us how. Even as God in Christ forgave you. Loved one, listen. What did he do? What is it? 2 Corinthians, what, 5:21? And God made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's called imputation. When God takes, when we say, Lord, forgive me, be the Lord of my life, and he takes the spotless, sinless record of Christ and puts it over into our account. Praise the Lord. That is your position. How can we not forgive others? It says in Colossians 3:1-3, it says, bearing one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. Listen, remember in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says that love keeps no record of wrongs. Amen? That's the kind of people we are. And listen, you know on this Father's Day that there is an epidemic of unforgiveness and, in the church. It's horrible. It's in every church, loved one. You know, where people, I mean, they seem to believe I don't have to forgive anybody or I don't even have to ask for forgiveness. But listen, forgiving others is not optional, is it? No, it's a command. See, we don't have a problem of forgiving ourselves. But what about other people? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18 with me on this Father's Day. And, we're going to begin in verse 21. But Jesus is talking to about dealing with a brother or sister that sins against you and vice versa. And you're to go to him and gain your brother. You don't want to lose your brother and so forth. And so Peter, he's blown away by all this. And look down to verse 21 of Matthew 18. Then Peter said to him, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? You know, He says, up to seven times? Now, Peter, he was probably saying, man, I'm really holy, you know, seven times, right, Lord? And you know, and so Jesus says, listen, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. What does that mean? It means forever. Keep forgiving. That's who we are because that's the way God is. See, forgiving others doesn't have a limit. Is forgiving others hard sometimes? Oh my gosh, it's so hard, loved one. Listen, you know, so what does Jesus do? He tells, and I'm not going to read it all, but he gives them a parable, okay? The parable of the unforgiving servant. So remember there was this one servant. He had an unpayable debt. As a matter of fact, 1,000 lifetimes, he couldn't have paid that debt off. That's how huge it was. So he goes to the master and begs, oh, master, please forgive me and so forth. And that master does and wipes his debt completely off. And so that servant, he goes out and finds another servant that owes him 100 denarii, which is about 100 days labor or whatnot, something that is payable. But he puts him in prison because he didn't have it. He didn't have any compassion. He didn't forgive him or any of those things. Look at verse 32. It says, then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me, you asked me. He says, should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? Let me ask you a question. Has God forgiven us a debt that we could never pay? Yes, man. Listen, and his master was angry and delivered him to the what? Now, if you have a different version, that may be omitted, which it shouldn't be. It says, delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Now, listen, before you start going, oh, my, this is bad. It is bad, but this is not talking about eternal hell, okay? The word torturers there speaks of like a jailer, so and so forth. But it is torture, okay? So what is Jesus saying? He's saying for the people that are believers that if we're not going to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us, guess what happens? Unforgiveness then becomes like a jailer to us. It becomes like a prison, and it starts torturing our mental or whatever. You know, unforgiveness can make a person sick. You know what I mean? To be that root of bitterness gets so much in their heart and all of those things. So the meaning of this, loved one, is that the unforgiveness brought the servant literal physical pain, if you will, mental pain, and so forth. And he says in verse 35, so my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you, the disciples and us, okay, from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Again, it's not talking about salvation. You're not saved by doing a work. You're saved by grace. Amen? It's talking about our walk. But I want you to listen to me now. You know, a lot of people, not maybe a lot, but you know, you don't know me. You don't really know what I went through in my life. I don't know what you've gone through in your life. You understand? But we have this idea sometimes about pastors that, you know, they're sissies and, you know, they, you know, little dainty things, and they don't know how to work and or use a shovel. I can't stand that kind of, it makes me, listen, or they've never gone through anything except seminary or something. Here's what happens when you choose not to forgive and you are a born-again Christian. Loved one, listen, your misery is assured. That's what Jesus is saying. And here's the deal. People come to me and they won't, and I say, I need counseling. I say, no matter how much I counsel you, no matter how much I love you, no matter how much I pray with you, it's not going to help you unless you forgive your crummy husband or your crummy wife. You understand what I mean? You've got to forgive and so forth. And that's the only way, because nothing will deliver you from the pain in your heart and the pain in your mind. Now, listen to me. Whenever we are hurt and wounded, and some of us, listen, I've, like everyone, gone through things that I could barely forgive a person. But you know something? Here's the deal. Is Jesus asking us to deny our pain? Is the reality of our hurt? No, our Lord is not. He's not doing that at all, man. He's not asking us to live in denial and saying, you know, what that person did with me was okay. No, he's not saying that at all. Jesus knows you're hurting. He knows you're wounded, and he's giving you a way to get out of the torture or out of jail. He says, release that person to me. Amen? Let me have that person. Forgive that person. Give him to me. In other words, someone said it this way. To forgive is to set the prisoner free and only to discover that the prisoner was me. Do you understand? Listen, forgiveness. Remember when I taught this. I've taught it so many times through the year. Forgiveness is not pardon. Amen? Forgiveness is not even an emotion. Forgiveness, loved one, is just an act of obedience. You want me to forgive them. Oh, Lord, here, help me. I forgive them. Amen? That's all that is. And when you forgive, you're not submitting to the person. You're not submitting to what they've done to you. You're submitting to God. Now, let me tell you a myth here. This is a myth, what I'm getting ready to tell you. You know, to forgive doesn't mean you will forget. Do you understand that? See, a lot of people say, oh, no, you won't, it's over. No, no, no. I haven't forgotten what's happened to me in my life. Have you? I don't think about it. I certainly don't dwell upon it. Forgetting those things are which behind, I'm pressing on, just like all of us. Amen? But listen, unforgiveness will do to you what was done to that fig tree. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, listen, unforgiveness, you'll wither, man. Sometimes it is almost over the top, hard, almost in your heart impossible to forgive. When I think of that mother on the Costa Mesa freeway, you know, with her 6-year-old boy in that little, what do you call that seat they put him in, the child seat in the back, in that road rage incident that didn't even have to happen, but the guy was so angry, he pulled out his Glock, he fired in the back of that car, and the bullet went through the back of the little baby. The 6-year-old boy came out of his stomach, and his mother pulled over the car. You know what had just happened. Mommy, my tummy hurts. And he died. How do you forgive that? How do you forgive that? When you see your baby die in your arms, I'm telling you, it is so difficult. And sometimes, you know, people think, well, okay, I forgive that person. No, listen, forgiveness doesn't mean that you keep exposing yourself to things that are dangerous or dangerous people. Listen, you know, if you're married to a man, and you who are listening live, if you're not a believer and you're living with someone, listen to me, they have no right to hurt you and harm you and beat you. You get away from that person. Forgive them, but you don't ever get around them again. There are those that, young girls that were molested by their father. And now they're grown and married and they have children. And you don't have to let your children around your molester. Do you understand me? See, God, that's not what forgiveness does. There are times, loved one, in the middle of the night, not often, but times, the lights are out and there's just me and Becky's sleeping and I wake up and I start thinking and I start remembering. And I said, Lord, did I really forgive what that person did to me when I was 9 years old or when I was 12 years old? Did I really forgive? Because the hurt comes up again in my heart. Oh, listen, I'll tell you something. In 1947, after Corrie Ten Boom was released, of course, previously she was released in 45, of course, from the concentration camp where she and her sister were imprisoned under the care of the Nazi guards and all of that. Matter of fact, her sister died there. When she got out, she, as a believer, would go and speak at different churches. And she was speaking on the subject in a church in Munich. München is how they say it in German, but Munich in English, and they would, and she was talking about the God who forgives. And so, as the teaching was over and everybody stood up to be dismissed, immediately she saw a man, and that man was the guard in that concentration camp. Let me just tell you what she said in her own words. She said, "It came back to me with a rush, and the huge room with its harsh overhead lights and the pathetic pile of all the girls' dresses and their shoes in the center of the floor, and the shame of me. I had to walk right past this man naked. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me. Her ribs were sharp beneath her skin. And she says, and now in front of me, here this man who comes to the altar, he thrust out his hand. Oh, and he goes, oh, a fine message, Fraulein. How good is it to know that, as you say, all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea." See, he didn't recognize her, this guard. He says, "Oh, I was a guard at that camp that you mentioned." He says, "And I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel, horrible, cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips, Fraulein, from your lips." And again, his hand came out, Corey writes, and he says, "Will you forgive me?" Corey prayed quietly, "Jesus, help me." He says, "Help me lift my hand. I can do that much. Would you just simply supply the feeling?" Listen to what happened. "And mechanically, I thrust out my hand to the one stretched out of me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang through the joints of my hand. And then this warmth flooded through my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I looked at him and said, 'I forgive you, brother.' I cried, 'I forgive you with all of my heart.'" That's not the end of the story. Weeks started passing. She'd wake up in the middle of the night, anger, because she would think of that guard. And she would just be boiling over and over and said, "Oh, Father, help me, help me. I thought I had truly forgiven him. Help me, Lord." And God did help her. You know what he did? She was traveling and she went back home. And she went back home to her hometown. There was a Lutheran pastor that she visited. And she shared with that man what she said. I can't forgive him. I just can't let go of all of this stuff. And the pastor said, "Oh, Corey, listen." He says, look up at the church. Look at the bell tower up there." And he says, "Here, grab that rope and start pulling that bell. Start, keep pulling it." And said, "Do you hear it ringing? Do you hear it ringing? Do you hear it ringing?" And he said, "Now let go of the rope." And she let go of it. And the pastor looked at her and said, "Corey, listen, do you see that the bell is continuing to ring and to sound? Do you keep hearing it? But it's getting softer and softer and softer. And finally, it's not ringing anymore." He said, "That's what's true about forgiveness. You don't ever forget it. But after a while, the ringing stops." Amen. Listen, some of you, man, you need to let go of that rope. Do you understand? You need to let go of it. You've got to say, "Oh, listen, I don't want that anymore." See, unforgiveness comes between our Father and ourselves. Loved one, listen. And the only difference that happened about the ringing of the bell was that Corey's hand, it wasn't on that bell, on that rope anymore. And that's what we have to understand on this Father's Day. And listen, let me just say one thing. I know it's time to go, but let me just get this out. You know, sometimes, what about forgiving what is unforgivable? Do you know what I mean? I mean, how do I forgive the unforgivable? I've had to do that. The unforgivable. Here's what you do. I want you to look at Jesus. I want you to look at the Roman soldiers. I want you to look at what their fist is doing to his face as he's blindfolded. I want you to look at his back as his creation takes the Roman lictor and starts made with glass and bone and lead and starts ripping his flesh out of his back. I want you to look at him upon the cross with nails in his hands, darkness coming upon the face of the earth as he is being made sin for us. The Bible says in Isaiah that his visage was not even human. His visage was that of a face of an animal. That's what our sin did to him. And what did Jesus say from the cross as they are killing God? He says in Luke 23:34, Father, what? Forgive them. Forgive those who are killing me. Forgive them, Lord, who are mocking me. Forgive those who are gambling for my garments. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Father, forgive me. He had no sin to confess. He didn't say, Father, destroy them. I would. Amen? But he didn't. He said, oh, no, no. He said, oh, no, no, listen. Jesus was more concerned about those who were killing him. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Loved one, listen to me now. If you are unable to forgive, that you have been so hurt on this Father's Day, whenever it happened in your life, so wounded. Listen to me. Jesus is able and willing to forgive the unforgivable. You have to, did you catch that? Jesus is willing and able to forgive the unforgivable. And today, your Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, he's asking a question to you that are present. Do you have a mountain in your heart? Are you tortured in your heart? He says, listen, do you have a mountain of called unforgiveness? Here's what God wants you to do. Have faith in me. Have faith in your Father. And you say, well, Bill, you don't understand. I am a prisoner. You don't know what happened to me. Oh, you just don't know. No one knows but God. And I can't let it go. I'm a prisoner of it. Can I say something? Forgiving others doesn't change that person that you're forgiving. It changes you. It changes you. So listen carefully now. If that is you, as our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed right now, and no one moving around, I just want you to listen to me. If you, in your heart, if you're saying, Bill, I there's so much there, but I want it out. I just want it out. I want this over with. Why don't you do this? Because see, there are things that I have not been able to forgive in my own strength, in my life, loved one. I couldn't do it. But here's what I know. I know that if you will ask your Father right now, if you will just say to yourself, I'm asking that Jesus' forgiveness that he demonstrated on the cross, let it flow through me. Do it again. Let me say it. You pray this prayer right now. Just pray it with me and say, oh God, I'm asking that Jesus' forgiveness that he demonstrated on the cross, let it flow through me. Let it flow through me. Loved one, listen, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, but in my strength, I can't do it either. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you know, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You need me for everything. Listen, Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's in you right now. If that's you, just say, oh, Father, on this Father's Day, I can't forgive, but here's what I want to do. I want Jesus' forgiveness that he demonstrated on the cross. Let his forgiveness flow through me right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now there's one more. In this one, I'm going to ask for a show of hands because I'm going to pray with you. There are those that are here. You've forgiven everybody you have no ought in your heart against anyone, but you've never forgiven yourself. If that's you, just lift your hand up to God. Yes, 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 thank you. God, yes, yes, many, many, many. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, just like Corey Ten Boom did, take your hand off the rope and let it go. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over your people on this Father's Day, how you've just demonstrated your care, your love. Oh, you're incredible for those that are hurting, those that are tormenting by unforgiveness. Lord, flood them right now. They're a precious being, Lord, with your being. And let the forgiveness of Christ flow through them and let them be set free. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning on this Father's Day in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good? Our Father is incredible. Amen. Listen, you're free. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Oh, God is so good. We're going to close out with a song. I pray you guys have a great Father's Day. And I, if you're a first-time visitor, I'm going to depart wherever I'm supposed to depart to. Over to the main lobby, and they have a gift, and I'd love to meet you as well. If you need prayer, as Jesse closes us out, there's going to be pastors and people that will be down here to the front. Pray. Pray with them if you need prayer. Man, they love you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. God bless each and every one of you.